Let's bow in prayer and confess our sins. Our great God and Father, who keeps covenant and loving kindness for those who love you and keep your commandments, how blessed we are to be named among the people of God and to be called by you into your presence to serve you. Our hearts are humbled as we consider how amazingly holy you are, and then consider our own weaknesses, frailties, penitence for sinning, and outright disobediences to you. So, Lord, we humbly confess our sins as you taught us to do, trusting that you are righteous to forgive us and cleanse us. We confess that we are exceedingly selfish, considering our own desires and concerns of far greater importance than of others, and therefore do not love our neighbor as ourself. We fail to fully demonstrate the commandment of Christ our King, who laid down his life for us. Our pride guides us. With our words, we tear others down and we do not build up. We're so quick to find others' faults and weaknesses, yet are so blind to our own. And Lord, we confess that our selfishness leads us to lift up ourselves in our hearts and minds, becoming an idol considered worthy of more time and glory than of you. We've let our own thoughts become the standard by which we live instead of relying on your word. We've let our own desires guide us into the realm of right and wrong instead of relying upon your Holy Spirit. Lord, these sins we confess and more, things we've done and left undone, and ask your mercy to forgive us, cleanse us, and turn our hearts to you and Selah. Lord, hear our prayer, and let joy and gladness be restored to us again. For in your great love for your people, you forgive us and cleanse us. For Jesus showed no selfishness. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We glorify you, O Father, for your great gift of grace to us in sending us your Son for our sakes. And we magnify the name of Jesus, the name above all names, and in whose name we pray. Amen. God's word to us this morning begins in Numbers chapter 27, verses 12 through 23. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Go up to this mountain of Abarim and see the land which I have given to the sons of Israel. And when you have seen it, you too shall be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother was. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you were rebelled against my command to treat me as holy before their eyes at the water. These are the waters of Meribah, of Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin." Then Moses spoke to Yahweh, saying, "May Yahweh, the God of spirits of all flesh, appoint a man over the congregation who will go out and come in before them, and who will lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of Yahweh may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." So Yahweh said to Moses, "Take Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him, and have him stand before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and commission him in their sight. And you shall put some of your authority on him, in order that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey him. Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim before Yahweh. At his command they shall go out, and at his command they shall come in, both he and the sons of Israel with him, even all the congregation." And Moses did just as Yahweh commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him up before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him, just as Yahweh had spoken through Moses. Our next passage will be 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of also of the story that is to be revealed, of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now please turn to the back of your bulletin. We'll read together as a congregation Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As we continue, let's sing together.
Let's bow together in prayer. Father, now we come into your presence to hold fast the confession, the one word, Jesus is Lord. So we pray that you would attend us and teach us, build us up in Christ. For the glory of God we pray. Amen. The writer of the Hebrews says this: Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and consider the result of their conduct. Imitate their faith. Again, he says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls, as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for that would not be profitable for you. So the writer to Hebrews, as he concludes his epistle twice, talks to them once about their former leaders who led them, and then secondly, about their current leaders who are leading them. And he tells them to do something that we're not inclined to do. That is, submit to your leaders and obey them. In the case of those who apparently have already died and left the scene, he wants them to think about them and look at the way their life was lived and see the outcome of the way they lived, and so looking at it saying, oh, I should have faith like them. These would be the elders of the church, of course. We have had quite a few elders since I've been at McKinney Bible Church. John became an elder, I don't remember, 1994 to 1996. It was probably 1994, so we'll say 95 for fun. He's been an elder for 25 years. David was an elder in 1990 for several years and then rejoined the eldership in, I believe it was 2008. I may be wrong. I may be off a year. And so he's been an elder for 12 plus years. I don't know if you know it, but you have two fine elders. And you could look at them and you could say, I wish my life would come out like their life. Imitate their faith. This morning, we have a word from the Lord about eldership. And we have this word because this morning, a great event is taking place in the history of McKinney Bible Church. And that great event is we are beginning to pass on to a younger generation the eldership. John and David are a year and a half younger than me. But let's face it, we've become crotchety old men. And my hope is that in 3 or 4 years, you will be looking at an entirely new set of elders. We have several wonderful men to fill that role. And then the three of us will step back and show something that the Bible tells us to show. And that is, submit to your elders. When you think about the concept of elders, it comes all the way out of the Old Testament. It comes from Numbers chapter 27, as Hyde read for us. And it is about the transfer of leadership from Moses to Joshua. And of course, Moses was the leader, and there were elders of each of the tribes of the nation that helped him. The same would be true of Joshua. But what Moses asked for is that God give them a shepherd so they wouldn't be like sheep without a shepherd. And that they would have someone to go in and come out and lead them in and bring them out. Well, Numbers brings us to the brink of crossing the Jordan River and conquering the land. They're looking for a leader who's going to be God's shepherd for the people, to organize them, to care for them, to enlist them, and to conquer a land. That is, to set up a kingdom. In Matthew chapter 9, we read these words in verse 35. And Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. We don't think that way much about the gospel, but all the way through the gospels, it's about the kingdom. We tend to focus on the beginning, the birth of Christ, and the end, the death of Christ. Those are important, obviously, it's central. But the gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. And we cannot ignore the fact that when Moses passed on the leadership to Joshua, and he went up into the mountain, and he gazed over the land, and he died and was buried. And nobody knows where he was buried. And then Joshua took over. It was a new generation, a new time. They had been delivered from Egypt by Yahweh and his outstretched arm. And they came through the wilderness where they were to be tested, even though they failed and put God to the test. And then they came on the brink of the land, and now it's time for Joshua to act. And it goes on to say in verse 36 of Matthew chapter 9, Seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast. They were harassed and helpless, says the ESV, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." And then the next thing you know what happens? 12 disciples are sent out. Moses sends out Joshua. And what he does is he takes his hands and he lays his hands on Joshua, and he, through his hands, passes authority to Joshua. Some of his authority. The word authority isn't the kind of word that you and I think of as authority. It's actually the word splendor, majesty. It's the very word that's used of God. He's full of splendor and majesty. And it's the very word used of man when God made him in the garden and he made him for glory. So, Joshua has now the splendor of leadership. It's not a light matter. It's a heavy matter. After all, Moses, this faithful servant of God, made this mistake where he did not hallow God's name before the congregation, and he's prevented from going in. That's the kind of leadership that he passes on to Joshua. And Joshua takes the people in. Now, in the book of Matthew, the leadership is passed on from Jesus, who delivers them at the cross. And these 12 men, minus one, an extra one added, so there would be 12 again, are going to be the shepherds that lead the children of Israel into the kingdom. Here's what Jesus says. These 12 Jesus sent out again after instructing them, saying, "Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? No. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so it was. Jesus was about to die and inaugurate the kingdom, and the kingdom would come in full force in AD 70. Now, the disciples become the shepherds. In the scriptures, there are three terms that are used in connection with what we call elders. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And just notice in verse 17 in Acts chapter 20, Paul says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and he called to him the elders of the church." There it is, the word elders. Now just skip down in chapter 20 to verse 28. Speaking to the elders now, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Now turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And Peter writes in verse 1, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. That is the glory of Christ leading His people in the kingdom with their rule. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. And then he goes on to say something about the oversight. So three words: elder, oversight, shepherd. The first word, elder, speaks to experience. It's somebody who's lived enough life to have matured and suffered. The word elder is the word presbus, means old man. Old man. From which we have denominations called Presbyterians. They're speaking about eldership. Presbyterian churches have an eldership. It speaks about having the wisdom of growing old and getting white and gray hair. Hyde will fit right in. And it speaks of this experience where people have been tested and proven and tried. Because all kinds of trouble comes to everybody. And some people survive and flourish when life is disappointing and ravages you. In our congregation, many people have experienced terrible things. Just as Hyde and Jessica, the death of a child. David and Carol, Byron and Linda, the death of a child. That gives a person experience. Nobody wants it, but it's these kinds of trials that shape men as they grow and they become mature and they know how to counsel people, how to talk to people. Elder speaks about experience. Oversight is the word that comes from Episcopos, translated in the King James and used by different denominations as the word bishop. I didn't look up the root of bishop, but Episcopos, skopos, means to look very closely, watch. So the oversight is you have elders in a church who are watching, not watching with a hostile eye, watching out for the people. It's derived from the concept of the dining room of God, His holy room, where over here you have a candelabra with seven lights shining on this table that has 12 faces of bread. It's a watcher candle. And then you go into the Holy of Holies, and what you have in there is you have a rod, the rod of Aaron that budded in Jeremiah. It's the watcher tree. The elders are the ones who blossom with gray heads, experience, and they watch over people. They watch closely. Now, they're not allowed to invade your privacy, but they are concerned about you spiritually in all aspects. And they are concerned about helping you through your weaknesses, through your failures. They are interested in watching you mature. They are interested in seeing you lead your family. They're interested in you going to work and bringing home an income and using that income correctly and being workers that are good examples to the world of what it means to be in God's kingdom. What do God's workers look like? His kingdom people. There's a third word. And the third word is shepherd. Shepherd. And shepherd talks about how elders feed, care, and so forth. You can, we don't have the time, but you could look at Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 6, where the shepherds of Israel are taken to task because they didn't bind up those who were wounded. They didn't strengthen those who were weak. Instead, what they did is they ate up the flock and they took its wool. They didn't care for the flock. Instead, they Israel was scattered over all the mountains, all around the earth, like sheep without a shepherd. So, three words. Elder speaks to experience and wisdom. Oversight speaks to being in charge, watching. And shepherd, well, you know it from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He watches out. That's what an elder is. Now, if you're still open to 1 Peter chapter 5, I'd like you to look at it with me. 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, again, verse 1, "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and partaker of the suffering, witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God." So, this is the command, just like in Acts. Shepherd the flock of God. Feed them. Here's how you do it. You shepherd the flock of God among you. That is, the elders at NBC are responsible for this assembly, not the one up the road there. For this assembly. Exercising oversight, not under compulsion. Not because it's forced on you. Elders are to serve voluntarily. But, and then that's what he says, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Now, Hyde is going to be commissioned as an elder, and he's not going to do it for sordid gain because his pay is going to be zero. So, these men are to be men who care about the flock. And so they volunteer when God appoints them. They're willing. Yes, I'll come, I'll serve. It might be burdensome, but they'll still serve. It might be heart-wrenching, but they'll still serve. Look at verse 3. "Not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge." That's not a very good translation. Not lording it over the heritage. This is God's heritage. Not lording it over. Not domineering. But proving to be examples to the flock. So, elders are examples. We saw that at the outset. Elders are supposed to be people that you can watch. And you can say, you know, I should live like that. The way they follow Christ, I should follow like that. Now, when you look at your elders, John and David, you can say that. You look at John's children. Two are missionaries. One daughter is married to the smartest man I've ever known. And you can see they're all responsible. They love the Lord. They're following the Lord. Look at David's sons. The oldest son is working at Denton Bible Church. The youngest son is up in Oklahoma in a church serving the Lord. You can say, you know, I should live like that. When the disciples were sent out with shepherds, they were taught about the mysteries of the kingdom. There's a whole chapter. And of course, there's a lot of controversy about what that means, and we can't obviously solve it. But there's one overarching parable that becomes the premier parable for understanding parables, and that's the first one about the soils. And Jesus gives the parable. Then he talks to his disciples, "To you are given the mystery of the kingdom," and then he interprets the parables. And he does that because he's sending out his people. And he's sending to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I read this elsewhere, but then it just began clicking this morning in my head. Wait a minute. When Israel went into the land, God planted them. He planted them there. That's the imagery throughout Deuteronomy and the Old Testament. I brought you in and I planted you and you flourished and you grew. And then you left me behind and trouble came. In the parable of the soils, it's a planting. One seed falls on the rocky ground. It never gets planted. Three other seeds are planted. Well, you can't miss the mark. It's a planting. What happens in God's kingdom? Well, what happened in the Old Testament is lots of people got planted. All the people didn't last. What happens in the New Testament? Lots of people get planted. Some last for a while, and then under trial, they give up. Some last for a while, but because they're more concerned about money and education and pleasure, they get choked out. And then some last to the end. This is what elders come and watch in an assembly. They watch people. Not because they want to bop them over the head. Because elders want to be like a shepherd who lead people to that life that is pleasing to God and ends up being pleasing to them as well. There are three categories in which shepherds must be qualified. If you would turn to Titus. Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul writes this to Titus. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Namely, if any man be above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. Dissipation is the word that means unsavedness. It's put in conjunction with getting drunk in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Not accused of dissipation or rebellion. The word rebellion is the word submission with a negative put in front of it. A rebellious person is one who will not submit. So when you appoint elders, you don't appoint rebellious people. You appoint people who've shown they can submit. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, because elders are going to end up dealing with some money in the church, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching. The word teaching here is the word doctrine. In accordance with the doctrine, that he may be able both to encourage in sound doctrine and sound teaching, and to refute those who are contrary. Are those who contradict. And then he goes on to describe people who are in the churches in Crete, on the island of Crete, who are like this. They contradict and they're rebellious. And so elders have to come in and take charge. But I want you to notice there are three areas. First, there's home life. Second, there's Christian character. And third, there's handling God's word. Home life. Timothy says, if a man doesn't know how to stand in front of his family, how can he stand in front of the church? If he can't care for his own family, how can he care for the church of God. And so he describes, both in Timothy and here, that an elder, a shepherd, an overseer must be faithful to his wife and must have faithful children, some would translate it. Some would translate it believing children. We won't go into that. But in other words, his house has to be in order, under control. If you look at a discombobulated house, then that's the kind of church the man will lead, a discombobulated church. So one has to be in charge, oversee his own house. I think it's quite evident that we can look at Hyde and we know this man knows how to stand in front of his house. This man knows how to care for his family. The second thing is Christian character. And he lists a bunch of characteristics. The list is a little different in 1 Timothy than it is in Titus. But it's just this broad list of virtues. I think we can all look at Hyde and we can say, yeah, that's Hyde. That's Hyde. The third thing is God's Word. Elders must know God's Word. Now, elders aren't necessarily going to know everything about God's Word. After all, no one does. But elders are going to know quite a bit about God's Word and growing in God's Word. Turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 5. I just want you to notice in verse 17, Paul writes this. Let the elders who rule well, this word rule is that word stand in front of, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Now, I just have to pause and object to the translation. Even though I'm reading my beloved New American Standard, I have to object. The word preaching is not there. It doesn't exist. It is the word logos. Those who labor hard in the word and teaching it. When you put preaching and teaching like that, it makes it sound like, well, preaching and teaching are something different. He's just talking about teaching the word. So just about everyone sees a distinction. All elders rule, but some elders, like at MBC, are given the task to labor in the word and teach. Some churches have more than one elder that do that. Labor hard at the word and teach. But all elders have to be able to use God's word to encourage by means of sound doctrine and to reprove by means of sound doctrine. Because people need to grow and grow and grow and grow, so they need encouragement from God's Word. And then when people get themselves crossways, upset, trouble, they need an elder to come along and to gently, sometimes more firmly, sometimes if necessary, severely reprove them. Turn back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. And I'm trying to figure out where Matthew chapter 9 went to. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36 again. And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed, harassed and downcast, helpless like sheep without a shepherd. This tells us that you and I as sheep and elders are sheep too. We need shepherds. We need shepherds to lead us, to feed us, to correct us, to guide us, and to lead us into battle, as Joshua did. When it says, come in and go out and take them out and bring them in, it's talking about going to battle. And that's the context of Matthew. We don't come just to church so we can just grow and become this strong Christian and then sit. We come to church to be built up, encouraged by the elders, and then to go out to what? To battle. But I want you to notice something. Look again, verse 36. And seeing the multitude, he felt compassion for them. This word compassion is the word splogna. What it means is your guts. Translated compassion. Because, you know, sometimes when you feel, it goes all the way down to your tummy, like going down a roller coaster. And so your organs become the organs of feeling, compassion, emotion, those sorts of things. And it is thematic in Matthew of Jesus. He has splogna for sheep who have no shepherd. Consequently, what an elder has to be is somebody who has compassion. The word harassed means skinned. Now you take an unruly shepherd who wants to benefit from the flock, he skins them and he eats them. The word helpless, or the word downcast, means all they have has been cast off. They're at the end of their resources. They have nothing. Sometimes it might be emotional. Sometimes it might be spiritual. Sometimes it might be financial. Sometimes it might be because they've just gotten themselves into a big mess because of their own sin. But Jesus had compassion. Elders are called to be compassionate men. Men who, they're experienced. They know. When I came here, I was 28 years old. It's hard to think back that far. In 1984, January I think it was of 84, I became an elder at 29. You know what? That was too young. I've been an elder ever since. Eldering takes compassion. And sometimes the job gets very hard. And it takes a man who will endure. And I think we all know Hyde is that kind of man. Takes a man of experience. Hyde and Jessica have been through lots of trials. It takes a man who is willing and eager to accept the oversight. And in just a few minutes, when we lay hands on Hyde, that will be an indication that there will be four sharing the oversight. In other words, a little of the splendor, the authority, will be transferred to Hyde, and there will be four equal elders who share the rule. A man has to be experienced. A man has to accept the oversight willingly. And then a man has to get down and roll up his sleeves and get to work, because the work is all about people. We're entering a new phase at MBC. It's a great phase. In one sense, I don't like the phase because I love what I do. But I know I don't do it as well as I used to. And I know my fingers are wearing out, my mind is wearing out, my body is wearing out. And John and David are experiencing just a little bit of that themselves. We're wearing out. And it's time for a new generation of men. And God has graciously given us such men. And like I said, maybe in 4 years, maybe even less, there will be three or four men who are elders in this church, and John and David are going to take me out golfing. Oh, John says fishing. Sorry. Turn back to Acts. Chapter 20, verse 28. Here's what Paul says to the elders, the overseers, the shepherds. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. This church is very, very valuable to Christ. Shed his own blood for it. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert, which means stay awake, and remember that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. The word admonish means to warn. And Paul was so fervent about it, tears came out of his eyes because he saw down the line, and he knew trouble was coming to the church at Ephesus. And all you have to do is read 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and you discover it. All you have to do is, excuse me, read Revelation 2, and you discover it. The same thing will happen to NBC. It has happened from time to time. And so what God has done is He's given to us, and now a new generation springing up, elders to watch over, elders who are faithful at home, full of Christian character, and devoted to God's Word. Let's stand and pray. Father, we want to thank you, first of all, for the great King, the Shepherd King, our Savior. And we thank you that everything is known to Him. He watches over all His church all around the world. Whether the church be Baptist or non-denominational, or Presbyterian or Lutheran or Anglican, whatever the church is, wherever His people are, He watches, and He has compassion for us. He knows we're made of dust. He knows we're weak. And so He gives us His Word, and He sends people our way to encourage us. And when we need help physically, financially, He takes care of that through His people. We thank you for our Shepherd King. He is the chief shepherd, the great shepherd who rose from the dead. And we know that one day, we don't know when, He will return. He will return to a kingdom that He has built through His people on earth, and we will be with Him forever. We thank you that in the meantime, in the local assemblies around the world, you provide under-shepherds. Shepherds who are not the chiefs, because Christ is the chief, but they're His fellow workers, and they have compassion too for the church, to watch out for it, and to care for it, and to do just as the chief shepherd did, that is, to lay their lives down for the church, because this church is so important to Christ. He shed His own blood to purchase us. And so this morning we thank you that we can enter a new phase by your grace. And as we read in Acts 20:28, that the Holy Spirit has selected out Hyde as an elder and has appointed him. And the way we know it is because of the way he cares for his family. The way we know it is because of his character. And the way we know it, and we've all seen it, is the way he handles the Word of God. And so we thank you for that, and we look forward to what you'll do in McKinney Bible Church down the road as a new eldership emerges. Lead us and guide us under your shepherds, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.